The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the starting point for the intake of the Bible doctrine, the maintaining of the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, intellectual honesty and concentration on information, whether it is information you have already heard or is relatively new to you. It is your responsibility to take in the information, be spiritually refreshed, edified, and oriented to this great plan that we are privileged to participate in. Let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach the throne of your grace, we thank you for all of your blessings and everything you provide us with so that we can continue in this capacity in these perilous times. Bless this information to our edification and understanding with regard to your plan prophetically in Christ's name. Amen. All right, this is a little bit of an excursion from the notes, but the excursion is designed to try to help everyone, bring everyone up to grade as much as possible with regard to obviously a major player in the prophetic scheme of things. And that, of course, is the topic of the United States and prophecy. Aside from Israel, I don't know of another nation that gets as much ink, as many verses in the Bible as the United States does, dealing with it in a prophetic, strictly prophetic and last days situation. Obviously, there's a lot of information with regard to the rise of the Antichrist and that central fact. But the tribulation, definitely the United States plays a major role and is a major player in it. It is not a good thing for the United States because the United States will come under divine wrath in a most unprecedented fashion. Now, the thing that everyone has to understand in all of this, it's the key to unlocking the information, is that the information is presented both here and in Revelation 18 that deals with the United States in code. This is very important to understand. And the one thing that is very easy to grasp is the fact that ancient Babylon, of which Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel were connected with, ancient Babylon, the Babylon that rose up under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, this great empire only lasted 70 years. 70 years. And its demise was accomplished in unconventional warfare, if you will, something that would be almost one of a kind, in which the overthrow was affected by the next major empire of antiquity, the Persian Empire, led by Cyrus the Great. He corresponds to Nebuchadnezzar, and that empire lasted a long time. And the overthrow of the city of Babylon was without any significant violence, and certainly to the rank and file people within that city, there was no turmoil, there was no oppression, there was no killing, looting, burning, and all these other things. It was if one day you get up and you're in under the rule of the last of the Babylonian rulers, and then by the time you go to bed, the Persians are in control. And everybody's lives just didn't miss a beat. as far as anything we can tell. And that is very important, because all these scriptures are dealing with an unprecedented, violent overthrow. And so all the language, much of the language in here is strictly in code. Where, for instance, Chaldeans correspond to the founding race of this country and of America. And that race is Anglo-Saxon. For the Babylonians, it was the Chaldeans. So I made comments on this, if you've kept up with it, when we were here, seems like a long time ago. All right, just continuing and making comments as we go along. Verse 1. Thus says Yahweh. This is an affirmation of the Lord of history. It is a pronouncement through the prophet. Behold, I am going to arouse against Babylon and against the inhabitants or citizens of Leb Kamai, whatever in the world that means. Down in my footnote, it has a cryptic name for Chaldea, or it could also be referred to, or because it's a compound, the heart of those who rise up against me. So, again, the thing that I have to keep in front of me in these times in which we find ourselves, momentous times, is Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. And nothing will be allowed to take place that will interfere with the march forward to the kingdom of God and the plan of God. We may not like what's going on. Obviously, God has a permissive will. It's running out there, all these people doing what they're doing. He allows them to run under the permissive will. He has a directive will and an overruling will. So you have to keep in mind that the Lord has all this under control. It doesn't appear that way, as chaotic and tumultuous as the times are, and the things they're saying are right around the corner in the great reset by the elite with their vaccination and their digital dollar and all these things and that they're planning to do. They've done this in American history with regard to our currency on several occasions. One under the Wilson administration, one under the Roosevelt administration, and one under the Nixon administration. They cut us off under the Nixon from a gold standard completely. People's savings and everything shrunk. They suffered as a result of it. Of course, we moved on. Now they're wanting to do it again. They want a worldwide digital currency, a digital dollar, a digital wallet. Whatever happens, Jesus Christ controls history. And the technology that was not there for all these centuries to provide for a situation called the mark of the beast, now it's going to become real. It is high technology implanted in people to monitor them in every way 24/7. Sounds real Orwellian, doesn't it? And every move a person makes is monitored and known. Everything. Your temperature. Everything. How long you slept, where you go, what you do. That sounds scary, doesn't it? Because it's a tyranny. Already in China, they have facial recognition everywhere. People get demerits They can't criticize the government or they get demerits. And that means they can't do certain things. And if you don't have these things, you can't buy or sell. Does that sound familiar? You can't get a passport. You can't get a driver's license. You can't go to work. Of course, China is communist. But this whole thing is in front of us. And why I'm reviewing all of this is to show you that the main thing was to reiterate and reemphasize the timeline with regard to the march to the rapture. And if I've got it right, we've got the rest of this year and on to September of 2021. That's it. I will dispatch foreigners to Babylon. This dispatch is unconventional. Usually if you dispatch people there, they physically go from one place to another. This is being dispatched at a distance. Americans will feel the wrath coming down who remain here. I will dispatch foreigners to Babylon that they may winnow her. Winnowing, if you know what winnowing of wheat is. It's traumatizing the wheat the shell and separating the center of it from the protective outer shell, the chaff. And so you have these figures of speech. And what is the winnowing going to result in? And may devastate her land. For on every side, they will be opposed to her. It's like an attack over the Arctic, over from the east, the west, an attack. An all-out nuclear blitz. Every side. Again, to be, not to overemphasize, but to make it clear, no such thing happened to the ancient city of Babylon. The ancient city of Babylon, in its heyday under Nebuchadnezzar, was a magnificent structure. But it simply declined in importance. It was the Persians were there, and then after them, Alexander died there, and it just kind of went into decline until it became an archaeological ruin or a place where Bedouins would bed down their sheep and goats. It's still over there. It's an archaeological site. Not to be confused with the capital of Iraq, Baghdad. That's close to it, but it's not the same. Let him who bends his bow bend it. This is consistent with the previous chapter. Let not him who bends his bow bend it. That's the American nuclear forces. Land, sea, and air. Land-based, sea-based subs, and so forth. So what I get out of this is, we will be caught so flat-footed in this Pearl Harbor event that they won't even be able to launch in retaliation. And you know that they're monitoring all this 24/7 as the world is on the cusp of this and has been since the, after World War II, where the development of nuclear weapons transported the different ways that they could be transported. This is a direct at, let not him who bends his bow bend it, nor let him rise up in his scale armor. Weapons of defensive type weapons. So do not spare her young men. Devote all her army to destruction. Again, never did happen that way. They will fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans, code for Anglo-Saxons, and pierced through in their streets. For neither Israel nor Judah has been forsaken by his God, the Lord of the armies. Although their land is full of guilt, and to this day it's full of guilt, they are still the chosen people, but they are grossly maladjusted to God's plan with regard to the important factor, who their Messiah is. Before the Holy One of Israel. Now, verse 6 is for all Americans, post-rapture Americans, without exception. Here's what they're told to do. Flee from the midst of Babylon. And each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment. In other words, after the rapture, and there will be, and I will cite it later, there will be an announcement, and this announcement will be given from heaven, along with two other big announcements. And it is, flee. Make your way out of the United States of America. Whatever you have to do, do it. No, it isn't going to be fun. No, it isn't going to be convenient. But it is the directive will of God for people after the rapture who are Americans. They are to exit. Go somewhere. Preferably far enough away. Cuba's not going to cut it. And just across the Mexican border and Canadian border probably isn't going to cut it either. Distance yourself. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, for this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He's going to render payback to her. Now you have to remember that this judgment isn't just based on the current round of sinning that had been going on the last few years before the destruction. It goes clear back. God keeps tabs. It's like an individual who is up for judgment. And it is the whole history of their activity that is brought into judgment. All at once. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh. There's another control factor for you. And a golden cup indicates prosperity. American commerce, worldwide influence, all over the place. A golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. Intoxicating it with what? Concepts that are unbiblical. When you're under the influence, you're under the influence. And under the influence of evil, the kind of evil promoted by the United States. George Bush Sr. We're building a new world order. What? Who handed us the keys to do that? Overthrowing nations clandestinely through the CIA and coups and fake elections and outright military attack and economic sanctions. We're going to sanction you. That's the game played out here. If you were to see all the sins and all the crimes, political and so forth, committed by this country, spread all over the earth. We underwrote the Soviet Union. We kept this Frankenstein monster alive. Lend-lease. Nobody has the time to go over all of this. Economic aid and support to the Soviet Union, while our men are dying in Vietnam, and all this is going on. Our businessmen are over there like crazy, cutting deals. So if we're ever going to sanction anybody or not trade with anybody, it ought to be somebody that's butchering its citizens by the millions. Stalin. But you see, Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin at the end in the Yalta Conference, all sitting up there together. I was told they were all 33-degree Masons. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad. Look at the madness today in the world. India's on board with this universal vaccination and this digital currency. India. Bill Gates is praising whoever the name of the guy is that's the head of India. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and been broken. Wail over her. Bring balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. This is sarcasm. Maybe we can fix her back up and get her back on her feet. That's the point of this. But guess what? Who's we? We applied healing to Babylon. But she was not healed. Who's we? It's the Christian witness. It's the Christian witness. Technically, this country could recover and be forgiven of all of her sins. Assyria did it under Jonah. And they were a bunch of people that were really a cruel race of people. And they turned to Yahweh under Jonah's preaching. And they got a lease on life. It's like they got a restart. And then eventually they went down too. But the point is, we applied healing to Babylon, but she was not healed. So even after the rapture, there will be a call and the American people won't listen. Not a significant number of them that would turn this around. Divine judgment is last resort, whether it's for the individual or a collection of people. In Old Testament history, in Israel's history, there are occasions, you read through the book of Judges, and then there are other occasions where the population pushed up against a wall, turned to the Lord. It's a simple process. Renounce what you've been doing, your involvement in idolatry, turn back to God and His Word and the proper worship and service of Him. And they did this under Hezekiah, and God wiped out a big Assyrian army. And they got a lease on life. So nations can recover. It's not common, but they can. This says this country won't. So all the Christians out there, pray for America that she'll recover and get right and everything. Well, we're not going to. The prophecy says that's God sees ahead, and we applied healing. She had a chance. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country. That'll be a trick for some people to figure out. Where'd your ancestors come from? Spain. Okay, go back to Spain. Now, I don't know how God is going to make a way for people to do this with everything so locked down and so draconian. Travel, all of it. But he'll do it. He got Israel up out of Egypt, and it didn't look like there's any way that they were able to neutralize the Egyptian power and get out of there. 10 plagues later, they got out. So I don't know. That just has to work out for people who are here. Anybody who, and this will be announced from the rooftops after the rapture. Absolutely, literally. For her judgment has reached to heaven. This is kind of like a parody on the Tower of Babel. We're going to build a tower that reaches to heaven. And so we are building this invisible tower of our sins, of our crimes. That's the tower we're building. And so when it reaches that point, and the justice of God, see, God's fair even in judgment. He's not going to overdo it. It's going to match the sins. It's monitored in that way. And towers up to the very skies. The Lord has brought about our vindication. This is a reference to Jews after the rapture who will be turning to Christ in great groups. And just like blindness is removed from Jacob. Oh, we now see. We judge our own history. We know we rejected our Messiah. This will be traumatic for the Jew who becomes a believer under these conditions. Because if you're a Jew and you live in America after the rapture, well, you obviously know where you're going to go back to. You're going to go back to another hot spot. You're going to go back to Israel. And all that happens to Israel during this period of the tribulation. But there's a roadmap. It's called Bible doctrine to define the directive will of God for every believer. Where I'm supposed to be. How I'm supposed to think. Circumstances may change, but this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It didn't change over the years here, by the way. Get under your right pastor. Get under face-to-face teaching and stick with it no matter what it is your turn to suffer. Jesus didn't cut and run. The apostles didn't cut and run. And most of them were martyred. The Lord has brought about our vindication. Vindication from what? Oh, the Jews and all that stuff about the promised land. That's just Bible stories. We're going to see if it's a Bible story. Yes, it is a Bible story. We're going to see that it is in stone and it's right. That's the promised land. That's the chosen race. Yes, they are out to lunch spiritually, but they're going to come around. It's already happening. And it's been like 2,000 years since Christ was here. And they rejected him. They were dispersed, punishment, kicked out of their land. And then all this talk of the nations. A lot of Christians get involved too. Come and let us recount in Zion. That would be another term for Jerusalem. The work of the Lord our God. And then we go back to the attack. Sharpen the arrows. And Russia has been sharpening their arrows. They're not their arrows technically. They're Yahweh's. But he's greased their skids. He's blessing their scientists and their technology, and they're cranking out weapons that are unfathomable in their ability to destroy. Fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes. And what were the Medes noted for? Primarily, and in these prophecies, their archery skills. They were a subcategory within the Medo-Persian group. There are three groups, and the Medes were in the army. They were all basically filled the air with arrows in an attack. I like that one movie just for its opening scene, Gladiator. The opening scene's great. Got the Romans and you got the long-haired Gauls. And they just filled the air with it. I mean, when the archers would launch their first barrage, the air was just filled with arrows. And the Romans took their shields and built what they called the turtle. And these things, arrows are bouncing all over the place. That's a great scene, that opening scene. I highly recommend it. I always liked those Roman movies and those things. That was real good. Fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Mede because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. If this isn't redundant, I don't know what is. It says the same thing in a different way. It's just like one wave after another. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. Now the question theologically here arises, is it the temple in heaven or the Trib temple? I don't have a definitive answer to that. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon. What did Babylon trust in? These mighty walls that were built. These walls were renowned. You could put chariots side by side and run all the way around them. I've seen pictures of them. The artwork on the outside and so forth. Post a strong guard, station sentries, place men in ambush, for the Lord has both purposed and performed what he has spoken concerning the citizens of America, Babylon. Now, another clue is geography. How do we know it's the United States? Somebody said, why couldn't it be Japan? Why couldn't it be... Japan's not the leading economic power of the world, never was. And certainly, so forget that. And how would Japanese go to a country that they came from? That's their country. So you can't make those. See, we are uniquely among the nations. We were built on immigration from all the nations. Ellis Island. Immigration. Whole communities. That's German community. That's Scotty. Whatever. All these nations came here. Sometimes because they were suffering in their own countries due to various factors. And this was the promised land, where you could come and have freedom and start from scratch and build an empire. And that's why people came here. And it was a big country. You could spread out. You start building cities. It's favorable geographically because it has water on both sides. And it has a river running right down the center of it where goods are transported, the Mississippi. And all the other areas that make it such a desirable place for agriculture and industry. And here's one for you. O you who dwell by many waters, Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Gulf of Mexico, I think that qualifies as many waters. That will satisfy it. Some countries are more landlocked. Abundant in treasures. Nobody can even calculate the amount of wealth that exists in the United States in the physical realm. You can't even begin to comprehend it. In all kinds of ways, all kinds of stuff. It's all here. Abundant in treasures. Your end has come, the measure of your end. The Lord of the armies has sworn by himself. We're not to take oaths, but the Lord takes an oath by himself because there's no one greater. Usually when you take an oath, you say, I swear by whatever to do whatever. I swear with my hand on this Bible to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because the idea is that you are taking an oath, a vow to tell the truth, and you're appealing to something greater than you. There isn't anything greater in God. So he takes an oath by himself. His own essence. His own attributes. Which you should memorize. That's one of the problems. Christians don't have a basic understanding of the essence of God. I start off real simple. What is God? God is invisible, immaterial, but real. He operates under 10 separate attributes. His sovereignty. That's his will. You had will. You exercise it, we exercise it every day in all kinds of ways, in good ways and bad ways. But he has free will. I will do as I please. He set this plan up the way it is. Whether you like it or I like it, that's his plan. He is sovereign. He is eternal life. He didn't start up somewhere. He's always existed. We can't comprehend it. We can comprehend the concept of eternal. God has placed it in the heart of all men. God is love. Thank God he's love. He's got that attribute. He's absolute righteousness, plus R. He's justice, J. Fair. He doesn't discriminate among people. That's a good one. And then the three O's. Omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. You can't go anywhere and God isn't there. There's a psalm about that. I could go to the deepest ocean. I could go here, and you're there. Omnipresence. Present. Omnipotent. All-powerful. And omniscient. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. And there's any detail. He knows how many threads are in the garment you're wearing. There's nothing you could ask him as a question that he wouldn't know the answer to. And he's V for veracity. He only promotes the truth. And then there's the I, immutability. He doesn't change. There's no shadow of change with him. He's the God. What he was in the day, any day, he's the same one. Same attributes. People change for the better or for the worse, but he doesn't change. Immutability. And we always put those ten items in a triangle, an equilateral triangle, because there's three members of the Godhead that it's wrong to say share these essence. Each one of the member of the Godhead has these independently of the others, if you can imagine that, called the Trinity. They're co-equal and co-eternal. Surely I will fill you with a population like locusts. Locust plagues. We've seen a little bit of that in the news lately. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. That hit in places like in Africa. Just absolutely filling the air and stripping all the greenery off the area they land on. Locusts. Biblical locust plagues. You see them in the Old Testament. God says, I can call up a locust plague and bring it down on you. As a deal. So locusts strip everything. And they will cry out with shouts of victory over you. That's the Russian military. They're going to celebrate like someone just won the Super Bowl. We pulled this off without any immediate retaliation. Absolutely, totally one-sided. Be like a team that every time they got the ball, they scored a touchdown and the other team couldn't do anything. And they get a goose egg. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom. And by his understanding, he stretched out the heavens. Three of them, to be exact. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. And he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. Jesus Christ controls the weather. Yeah, I know. There's a bunch of branches still on the ground out here to illustrate that part. Nice weather, bad weather, any kind of weather. He makes lightning for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Now, here's a good verse. And it is embedded in here. And it doesn't just apply to Americans. It applies to everybody. It applied to me until I started getting with the plan of God. This is what if I was going to put scripture verses out, I'd probably have people throwing stuff at the church. But this verse is true. Jeremiah 51:17. All mankind is stupid. We're not talking about academic smarts. We're not talking about technological smarts. Look at all the stuff we built and did because we're creating the image of God. We have automobiles, we have planes, we have on and on and on and on and on all these things we've built. That's wisdom. But he's talking about spiritual wisdom. All mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God. That's where we all start. The trouble is, most people just stay there. They're content just to stay there. And here's an example. The worship of anything but God, whatever it is, every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. A goldsmith is someone who can take gold and form it into some, in this case, some icon, some idol. For his molten images are deceitful. That gold, that valuable gold idol, cannot deliver you from anything. You can fall down and people falling down before all these objects of veneration. There's no breath in them. They have no independent life of their own. Now we're going to see an exception to this. An idol that at least can talk and appear super realistic human-wise. The idol that will be put in the Trib Temple. But typically, they're worthless, a work of mockery. Where's your Madonna on the dash of your car going to save you now? When I was in Mexico once, I caught a cab. That guy had so much stuff on his dash like that. It was unbelievable. That cab looked like it was beaten hell. And so those things are all going to protect him, right? In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these. We've seen this theme. For the maker of all is he, and of the tribe of his inheritance. Lord of the armies is his name. He says. Now that first part, the tribe of his inheritance, this relates down to Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he is obviously Yahweh, deity. Now he's the God-man, the glorified God-man. He says, this is the Father referring to Christ, you are my war club, my weapon of war, and with you I destroy kingdoms. It's within this context of the overthrow of nations historically and of course the tribulation, where there'll be an overthrow of the nations right and left. Only America is unprecedented in its destruction because it's total destruction and it can't be rebuilt. Nobody can come in here and do America too. And with you I shatter. Now, in ancient warfare, you had cavalry. We still call helicopters, airborne cavalry. So, and with you I shatter the horse and its rider. And with you I shatter the chariot and its rider. A chariot could be a tank. And with you I shatter man and woman. And with you I shatter old man and youth. And with you I shatter young man and virgin. Because these are the people who will be caught up in this nuclear holocaust. Again, remember, they have been given the gospel. They've been given the word to get out of here and be in the directive will of God. And they will refuse. And the evidence will be so strong that you ought to get out of here. There's people already leaving the United States, going to other places. They have a premonition that this is not any longer the promised land. We call those people expatriates. And with you I shatter the shepherd and his flock, livestock. And with you I shatter the farmer and his team. Agriculture, tractors, plows, whatever. And with you I shatter governors and prefects. This is the ladder of the ruling elite from the local level up the ladder. They're going to get it too. But I will repay Babylon and all the citizens of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion. We've meddled in the Middle East. Now have we not? When we visited Israel, I was talking to this Christian Palestinian fellow from Austin, Texas, with his bolo tie and his cowboy boots. So weird, isn't it? And he was coming to check out his business, see if his kids or whatever was running it right. And he'd make periodic trips to there. And we were in his shop. Was it him that said that? No, it was my guy. It was a guy I was handed over to travel in there. Anyway, I got confused. But the guy said, there's all this construction going on, building roads. And this is the area, what we call the Palestinian area. It's still the land of Israel, but okay. The guy says to me, your American tax dollars at work. Yeah, it is, isn't it? That's what we need to be doing, is building roads. But anyway, that's it. And that's just one thing. That might consider to be a positive thing they're doing. But a lot of evil has been done and it has affected Israel. One might say, well, we're all pro-Israel. All the fundamentalists are all pro-Israel. That may be true. But you've got to deal with the movers and the shakers and all these people. God has a record on this one too. And I suppose if you did some research, you could find out some things we have done to harm the average Israeli. All the evil they've done in Zion before your eyes, declares the Lord. All right, verse 25. Behold, I'm against you, destroying mountain. Mountains are used in the Bible to represent significant kingdoms. Hills for lesser entities. So it's called a destroying mountain. Who destroys the whole earth, declares the Lord. I'll stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags. I'm going to take you from your preeminent spot among the nations, and I'm going to roll you down, all the way down, like a big boulder rolling down a mountain. And I'll stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the crags, and I will make you a burnt-out mountain. That's the ruins that will be here, following the nuclear annihilation in 1 hour of one day, Revelation 18. And we know it isn't a volcano. We know it isn't fire out of brimstone out of heaven like it was over Sodom and Gomorrah. We know it's nuclear because we know it comes from a country from the far ends of the earth, and it's in the form of modern arrows, thermonuclear tipped warheads. And cities will go just like that. They will target the cities, all of them. So they're not just hitting the military stuff. They're going to hit everything. From one end of the country to the other. I know it sounds almost impossible, but you might do some research on the destructive potential of certain of the Russians' intercontinental ballistic missiles. Makes that stuff we dropped on those two Japanese cities look like firecrackers. I'll make you a burnout mountain. Now, usually when a thing is overrun and it's violent and stuff's left behind, what do people come in there and do? Salvage. Even on all the wrecked stuff, you could find some really good material. And that's what they did with these cities when they would go down. People would come in after it was all done, all over, and they would come in there looking for salvage, digging around. And they would take the best stones out of there to build new houses and stuff. And that's what we have right here. They will not take from you even a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations. But you'll be desolate forever, declares Yahweh. All right, verse 27. Lift up a signal in the land. Blow a trumpet among the nations. Consecrate the nations against her. And you have to realize that when the Bible was written and when this was written, they didn't refer to it as Russia, a great big country. It was broke up into different groups, depending on the area they lived in. Only did it come under one head and one Moscow, the capital, and all that. It was diverse groups within the Russian genre. Summon against her the kingdoms of Ararat. That's where the ark wound up on. That's where Noah's ark settled in. On that high terrain. Mount Ararat. That mountain range. It was caught on that. As the waters receded. Ararat. That's familiar. Mini and Ashkenaz, appoint a marshal against her. There will be an overruling leader that will orchestrate this attack. He'll be the high commander. The leader right now is Putin, head of Russian armed forces. Bring up the horses like bristly locusts. I don't know if there's such a thing as a bristly locust, but anyway, a locust that looks like it's armored or bristly, if you can imagine that. Consecration against her. The kings of the Medes. We're back to the Russian nuclear, thermonuclear forces and all their prefix. In every land of their dominion. So the land quakes and withers. For the purposes of the Lord against Babylon stand to make the land of Babylon a desolation without a single inhabitant. I added that. Not everyone will die all at once. But when it's all over, you can't find a human. Not even in any hole in the ground. Not all these survivalists that are out there that you read about from time to time. That think something bad's coming, so they've built them a little place in the boondocks. So they can ride this out. They won't escape. They just may live longer. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in their strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They're becoming like women. That means hysterical. Women have more of a tendency to be hysterical and fly off the handle. Maybe you've seen a movie where the woman is just going bonkers and freaking out, and a guy has to slap her upside the face to stun her back to reality. I'm not advocating anything like that, but I'm just saying, okay? Calm down. Men have more of a tendency not to be this, but these men will be like women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. That's their bunkers. On what, that mountain out in Montana? If that's right, I can't remember the name. The bars of her gates are broken. One courier runs to meet another, and one messenger to meet another. Bible must be interpreted in the time as which it is written, and couriers and people were running back and forth delivering messages. We do it now electronically. To tell the king of Babylon, the president, that his city, we've also seen in here, it's made up of cities, that his city has been captured from one end to the other. The fords have been seized. They have burned the marshes with fire. And all the men of war are terrified. Let's take our break.